One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're back at it again with the living room.
It has been a very long time since we have recorded in person.
Damn, Shannon. It's 2018.
It's 2018.
And we're on episode 94.
We're so close to 100.
So close to 100. Why don't we start getting ideas from you, our listeners, for 100th episode salad spinners.
Our centennial, our diamond jubilee of episodes.
When I was in London, there was a lot of like Queen's Diamond Jubilee merchandise.
Uh-huh.
That clearly was made like for when that happened, that was still being sold to tourists.
Oh,
now, you know?
Yeah.
Like playing cards and like decorative plates,
yeah,
and things. Can we make Song Salad Diamond Jubilee decorative plates and sell them as a fundraiser?
What would they have on them?
Why don't we take suggestions?
Yeah, dumb stuff we've said?
Yeah, maybe some fan art.
Mm, we did get some fan art.
Yeah.
Thank you at Jugbo for
made some Adele Who Brings Us Cakens fan art.
Yes, thank you so much. We love when that happens. I think we retweeted it on our Twitter feed.
Yes.
Wait, I have a question. Is Diamond Jubilee 100 years? That can't be right.
No,
it has to be 50.
Was that her 50th like year as queen? Is that what it is?
I guess so. Because it can't be 100 years.
That makes sense. Because I think she was coronated in like 19... What was it?
It was like the 60s, wasn't it?
I think it was the 50s.
Was it? Hold on.
Maybe it's 60 years?
Shannon and Scott, Google a lot. Hey.
I'm going to save that and reuse it.
Isn't that good?
That's really good.
I
should know this because I just like visited the Tower of London and looked at her jewels. Megan and I unsuccessfully planned a heist at the Tower of London.
It's the 60th anniversary.
I thought so.
of a notable event, especially a sovereign's ascension or the foundation of an organization. Wait.
Well.
Yeah, okay. So it was originally celebrated on the 75th anniversary, then changed in Britain with the 60-year reign of Queen Victoria.
Huh.
So the Diamond Jubilee, of Queen Elizabeth was 2012.
So 1952.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
I know.
So to make it our Diamond Jubilee for our 100th episode, that means it needs to be the 60th anniversary of something.
The 60th anniversary of our 40th episode.
There you go.
All right. When we do our 100th episode, it will be our Diamond Jubilee.
What was our 40th episode?
Which will be the 60th anniversary of...
Nut to Butt. The 60th anniversary... of Nut to Butt. Which I think was our rockabilly song?
Either rockabilly or like cowpunk. No, cowpunk was something else, wasn't it?
I think it was rockabilly.
Yeah.
Rut right up, nut to butt.
Yes, that's right. Rock right up, nut to butt. Okay, so get ready for that sometime in March.
Anyway, but that has nothing to do with this episode.
No, this all needs to be cut.
And this episode is about a song salad.
And a song salad is a song that we write about a random topic from Wikipedia in a random musical genre from the produce section, which is our
yes.
Excel spreadsheet of music genres.
And we spin our salad spinner to retrieve the random genre and topic. This week's salad spinner came in person to me.
Is this our first in-person salad spinner?
It might be. This came from my father-in-law, Andy Glogauer. And he wanted the salad spinner to sound like opening presents on Christmas morning.
Aww.
I'm pretty sure that's what we were doing when the suggestion came.
You know, right? What you know.
I should have just like hit record on my voice memos.
Yeah.
So do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You go first. I sang Auld Lang Syne first, so you go.
Okay, here it is. hey, you should make a salad spinner that sounds like this.
So you were opening presents underwater. And then your father-in-law sounds like Kermit the Frog, according to your impression.
That's what he sounds like underwater.
Ah, okay, okay. That makes sense. Spin! Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I did not know that this was a thing.
Neither did I. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
But mostly the ladies.
But mostly the ladies.
This week, our genre is...
Cock rock.
Cock rock.
Cock rock.
Cock rock.
Cock rock.
Oh, we're 4 years old.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Cock rock is a genre of rock music that emphasizes a form of male sexuality.
A form.
One form of male sexuality.
Okay.
We'll find out more about what that form is.
I guess so.
The style, developed in the later 1960s, came to prominence in the 1970s and 1980s, and it continues into the 21st century. Don't worry, folks. Cock rock is alive and well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's figure out. This is not a terribly long article, so I think we're going to have to move off of Wikipedia to get deeper into this topic.
Get deeper into the cock rock.
I fucking knew you were going to say something like that. Okay, so let's... Philip Auslander uses Simon Frith's description of cock rock characteristics. I don't know who either of those people are, and... only one of them is linked to another Wikipedia article. This is clearly not a wonderfully done article. Anyway, cock rock performance means an explicit, rude, quote, masterful, unquote, expression of sexuality. Cock rock performers are aggressive, boastful, constantly drawing audience attention to their prowess and control. God.
Look at my prowess.
Their bodies are on display. Mics and guitars are phallic symbols, or else caressed like female bodies. Mm. The music is loud, rhythmically insistent, built around techniques of arousal and release.
Interesting.
Lyrics are aggressive and arrogant, but the exact words are less significant than the vocal styles involved. The shrill shouting and screaming.
Cock-rock!
Oh, no.
There's one thing I'm seeing here on this article that I'm very curious about, but I think we should keep reading.
Okay. Using the term. The meaning of the term cock rock has changed over time.
It used to mean chicken rock.
Back in the innocent old days. It was first mentioned by an anonymous author in the New York-based underground feminist publication Rat in 1970 to describe the male-dominated music industry and became a synonym for hard rock, emphasizing the aggressive expression of male sexuality, often misogynist lyrics, and use of phallic imagery.
Makes sense.
The term was used by sociologists. Okay, so Simon Frith is a sociologist. Term was used by sociologists Simon Frith and Angela McRobbie in 1978. To point to the contrast between male-dominated subculture of cock rock, which was aggressive, dominating, and boastful, and the more feminized teeny bop stars of pop music.
Teeny bop.
Led Zeppelin have been described as the quintessential purveyors of cock rock. Okay.
Specifically, Robert Plant.
Other formative acts include the Rolling Stones, The Who, and Jim Morrison of The Doors.
So this overlaps a little bit with last week's episode. Well, 2 weeks ago, sorry.
2 weeks, yeah. I was like, with Southern Soul?
No, with acid rock.
Yes,
so,
it does.
So, you know, Jim Morrison and the Doors and Led Zeppelin could be considered acid rock. I think the Rolling Stones and the Who less so. Cock rock seems like it's a performance style in addition to a genre.
I think that's probably... right. It's the total aesthetic.
It's the attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I see the thing that you're excited about talking about.
This is strange, right?
No, I totally... wait, I don't... I think we're probably talking about two different things then.
Okay, never mind.
What are you talking about?
Well, I just saw the picture to the right here. It says Suzy Quatro, the first female bass player to become a major rock star on stage at Bad Kissingen in Germany in 2011.
Wait, why would that be on the Cock Rock page?
Well, that's why I'm curious about it. And I'm also curious as to who decided the first female major rock star was this bass player
in
the 2000s.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, there is a little bit more info about her here.
Okay.
So in 1981, Frith described the characteristics of cock rock in a way that could apply to female performers, not just male ones. In 2004, Auslander used this description of cock rock characteristics to show that Susie Quattro, the first female bass player to become a major rock star, according to whom?
Yeah.
Is a female cock rocker.
Hmm.
Breaking barriers, glass ceiling, destroyed. It's done.
Just destroyed that glass ceiling. Women can be cock rockers too.
Yeah, now we're equal.
Excellent. Misogyny over. New at 11.
Over what?
What?
What was
it? Misogyny over.
New 11?
New at 11.
Oh. Like the news.
Okay, that was so terrible. Cut all of that. God damn it.
Since the 1980s, the term has become interchangeable with hair metal or glam metal. Examples of this genre include Motley Crue, Rat with two T's, not the publication, Warrant, Extreme, Cinderella, Pretty Boy Floyd, Jekyll, LA Guns, and Poison.
Okay.
Despite the name, many of these bands have large numbers of female fans. The spoof documentary This Is Spinal Tap is an acclaimed parody of the genre.
That's what I thought you were excited about.
I am excited about that.
Yes.
In the 21st century, there was a revival of the genre with the sleaze metal movement in Sweden, with acts including Veins of Jenna.
Spelled V-A-I-N-S. Okay.
So if you think about glam metal, hair metal, and songs like She's My Cherry Pie Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yep. And what about Fat Bottom Girls?
That's Spinal Tap.
Sorry.
Fat Bottom Girls is Queen.
Yes.
But it's what's the Spinal Tap song?
It's like dump thighs or something. Big Bottom.
Just Big Bottom.
Yeah. Big Bottom.
Big Bottom.
Talk about bum cakes. My girl's got them.
Big Bottom, drive me out of my mind. How can I leave this behind?
It's so good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cock rock.
Yes, just for sure.
Gyrating and rubbing the mic stand and singing about big bottoms.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
What you thinking about, Shannon?
I'm just thinking about how any topic that we get, I will have to put on my male gaze goggles and figure out how I want to try to have sex with it.
Yeah.
No matter what the topic is.
Corruption in Pakistan.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah, seriously. I probably could have. That probably would have been okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I
hope we get the most innocent, unfuckable topic.
Me too. Oh, me too. I hope
this would have been a great one for Simicetus the pug-nosed whale.
Know.
You know?
I hope we get ducklings or something.
Paddington Bear.
Oh, Paddington Bear. Oh.
Well, should we get an example?
I think we should get an example.
I mean, I think Pour Some Sugar on Me is the most recognizable, sleazy.
Wait,
glam
but isn't
song.
That Bon Jovi?
No.
Who's Pour
that
Some
is
Sugar? Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
1987. You want to do Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Yeah.
All right.
Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard.
Tonight.
that was Pour Some Sugar on Me. A modern American classic.
You know, I just like, I get that like this is all about sexuality and stuff, but when you look at the dudes in Def Leppard and like a lot of the dudes of that time who were singing this kind of music, they just, you know, whenever like you leave chicken in the oven for too long and it gets like dry and stringy and like that's what those guys look like to me.
If you put a mop's worth of hair on the chicken and dressed its legs in spandex.
Yeah. If you took a really dried out chicken and you put a mop on it and you put little tiny spandex leather pants on its legs. That's what these rockers look like to me. I'm sorry.
And that was the definition of sex in the 80s.
Yeah. What was wrong with everybody, man?
Well, some YouTube comments on this song show the love that still exists for it. Madison says, if this doesn't make you want to become a stripper, I don't know what will. Love it.
Oh my God. Someone else says, for some reason, this song increases my sex drive, LOL.
Yep.
Yeah. So
Def Leppard.
But it does seem, the more research that we do into it, it does seem that it is more about like a physical and performance vocabulary than and like the kind of attitude expressed in the song than it is about a particular, you know, like they all used this like instrumentation or anything like that.
Yeah, rock is the common factor, and so is the era. So 70s and 80s rock, and particularly glam rock, hair metal, those kinds of groups. So
I also looked up why they called Susie Quattro a cock rocker, even though she was a woman. And it was because she co-opted a lot of that traditionally male physical vocabulary in her performances. So, for example, I found an article or an excerpt from the book Performing Glam Rock, Gender and Theatricality in Popular Music by Philip Auslander, which he's cited in the Wikipedia article as well. And he talks about one specific performance of Susie's, of Tom Petty's Breakdown in 1979. But, you know, this just seems like exemplary of her style, not it was only this one performance. They talk about how she stood in a typical male guitarist stance with her legs spread wide apart. She would also do things like emphasizing the downbeats by like bringing her hand up like aggressively and like down onto her bass guitar and thrusting her hips forward, kind of like thrusting her pelvis onto her guitar. She would also crouch down to the audience and put her guitar between her legs so that the neck of the guitar was kind of phallic. Like
classic
everyone's seen
move.
You've
classic
seen like a guitarist
move.
In that position.
Usually with their tongue out.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was like just very sexualized, but in a way that had been traditionally performed by male singers and guitarists.
Other fun fact about Susie Quattro, she was on Happy Days, the TV show, as the character Leather Tuscadero, the younger sister of Pinky Tuscadero, Fonzie's on-again, off-again girlfriend.
I remember that.
Yeah, and there's some YouTube videos of her performing songs as Leather on Happy Days.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, cock rock.
Cock rock.
Cock rock.
If you're from Minnesota, it's cock rock.
Don't you know?
Or you listen to that cock rock again.
Oh, Susie Quattro.
Oh, Susie Quattro.
From down the block, doing cock rock.
You know, I did 4-H with a Susie Quattro.
She made the best God's eyes. Now that I know what those are.
Wait, when did you learn what God's eyes were?
From you.
Oh,
on an episode of this podcast. Jeez, listen to Song Salad much? All right, let's move on.
Okay. Anyway, let's get our topic.
It's your turn to spin the salad spinner.
It is.
Unwrapping presents on Christmas morning.
Okay. I hate it.
because you got a big piece of paper.
Yeah, because I got a musical score.
It happened.
Okay.
We did it.
We got a fuckable topic.
No, unfuckable. You think this is fuckable?
I don't know. It's a person.
Well, sure.
Technically.
What are you saying about people? They're objects for you to
diddle? Well, I think you should not be diddling non-person objects, right?
David Shepherd,
artist.
Richard David Shepherd.
Oh, he just died.
Oh.
Like 4 months ago.
Well, this is a tribute.
Oh. Sorry, Richard David Shepherd.
Was a British artist and one of the world's most outspoken conservationists.
Oh, good for him.
He was most famous for his paintings of steam locomotives.
Why? Why? Why?
And wildlife. Okay. Although he also often painted aircraft, uh-huh. portraits, notably the Queen Mother.
For her Diamond Jubilee?
Maybe. And landscapes. His work has been extremely popular since the 1960s in limited edition print reproduction and poster form, as well as other media such as Wedgwood limited edition plates.
Commemorative plates!
How did this happen? He published 5 books about his art, including an autobiography.
He was born in London, England. And
so many British topics.
I know. I wonder if your computer is trying to be like, I knew you were in England.
Probably.
Yeah. He won a child's painting competition in a magazine called Nursery World when he was 8 years old.
Aww.
Wow. He traveled to Kenya after finishing school and he wanted to become a game warden, but he was rejected as having quote unquote no talent whatsoever.
Oh my God.
Aww.
That's so sad.
He returned to the UK, but was rejected by the Slade School of Fine Art in London. He was taken in by the artist Robin Goodwin, who trained him for 3 years. Neil Brown said in Freeze, like the art word, F-R-I-E-Z-E.
Good Freeze salads.
Magazine. It's Freeze.
Oh, sorry. Continue.
David Shepherd is one of the most financially rewarded painters in the UK. Shepherd has brought pleasure.
On brand.
Shepherd has brought pleasure to millions, as seen on many table mats, posters, commemorative plates that bear his work.
Wow.
David Gower said, there is a sense of the atmosphere of the African bush that emanates from all his work.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What a weird story. Okay, so here's how he became interested in conservation. He was on an early expedition in the African bush when he discovered a poisoned water hole with a large number of dead zebra.
Zebra.
Oh, sorry, zebra. He had become an outspoken...
Don't drink out of the water hole, zebra! It's poison! Zebra! I broke Shannon. He had become an outspoken Ray worldwide.
Ray Rum Rhino.
Ray Rum Rhino. Zebra. Oh. Wow.
What a dumb podcast we have. Oh my God.
He had become an outspoken world-known campaigner and devoted much of his time to this. He was also a steam railway enthusiast, but said in a letter to the UK's Railway Magazine, you can always build another steam loco, but you can't build another tiger.
Oh, so true, David Shepherd.
Oh, that's a great song title. You can't build another tiger.
Damn. All right. Well, wow. This is writing itself.
It is.
One of his best known paintings, Tiger in the Sun, definitely looking that up immediately, was painted in 1977. His paintings are not only prized by art collectors, but have also raised... I'm sorry, I'm thinking about Zebra. Also raised huge sums of money for conservation.
His first major fundraising success was a work called Tiger Fire. which raised 127,000 pounds for Indira Gandhi's Operation Tiger in 1973.
Amazing.
He was also known for his paintings of elephants, and among his most well-known works were The Ivory Is Theirs and Wise Old Elephant.
Aww.
He also founded his own wildlife foundation, and he owned a number of steam locomotives.
Yes. Okay.
He was even gifted two steam locomotives from the Zambian president, Kenneth Kaunda.
Wow. One is still in the railway museum in Livingston, Zambia. Okay.
How do you get that as your thing? Like owning steam locomotives?
Yeah.
Or where do you keep them?
Well, clearly you keep them in museums in Africa.
So they're not like you own them, but you can't just be like, I'm going for a drive.
Yeah. It's like owning a...
Deborah.
Is he British now?
He's British.
No, but why was Ray Romano British? No,
well, this guy, I was being David.
Oh, I see.
And I think his wife's name was Avril. So,
oh, that's cool.
Choo choo, Avril. I'm going for a ride in me steamship.
It's like owning a statue in a park.
I guess.
You can't, yeah. Like, you can be like, I own that thing, but you can never, you know, maybe it's a metaphor for, you know, big game. You can own it, but can you ever really own a wild animal, you know?
Yeah.
You tame it, but you don't own it.
The tracks are theirs.
Yeah. God. Okay. So, interesting dude.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away in 2017, in September, after a 10-week fight in hospital, in the hospital, as we would say in the United States, because it makes more sense, with Parkinson's disease.
It's interesting because he was so well known as a painter and a conservationist, but this whole steam railway thing was a separate community that seems to have loved him as well. Julian Burley, chairman of the North Norfolk Railway, said, "It is the end of an era. A great man who will forever be credited as one of this country's greatest pioneers of railway preservation."
Wow.
"And in doing so, brought pleasure to hundreds of thousands of people." It's like, did you know that he was also a painter and a conservationist?
So he was like equally famous for conserving both giant animals and giant machines. I think he just like big things.
Do you think he's just an extreme hoarder? But he doesn't hoard little things.
He just hoards
things like trains
and herds and of elephants.
All of Africa's animals.
You know, that's really what conservationism is. It's just hoarding. Big things. You're not a conservationist. You're a land hoarder. This guy did a lot of good.
Yeah.
And
we make fun and light on this podcast, but good work, David.
Yeah.
Now we're going to write a cock rock song about you.
Yeah. Or like from his perspective, if he were a cock rocker.
True.
Like, we could turn him into a sex symbol, too.
Why don't we do that?
I think maybe we
think
should
we
do
should
that.
Honor his legacy.
Yeah. Honor his legacy by turning him into a sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look up some of his paintings, huh?
Yes. So the most famous ones were Tiger in the Sun.
Yes.
The Ivory Is Theirs, and Wise Old Elephant. So let's look those up.
Okay. Okay.
Good picks.
Good picks. He was a beautiful painter.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Like almost photo quality.
Yeah.
Paintings.
Like photo with a slightly impressionistic quality. Like you could kind of see the brush strokes a little
bit. You know, if you take a photo and put it through one of those apps that makes it look like a painting.
Yeah. Like a watercolor painting.
The other way around.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
Exactly.
No, he actually painted it.
Exactly.
So cool.
And he made commemorative plates.
Yes. Commemorative plates of wildlife.
If he were still alive, we could commission him for our Diamond Jubilee.
I know. Our Diamond Jubilee of nut to butt.
We were butt months too late.
Butt months?
I knew you were going to go there.
So, cock rock. about this sweet old man who did a lot of good for conserving.
More good than we'll ever do.
Yeah, way more good than we'll ever do.
Let's break here.
And write.
And I'll look at more cock rock and figure out how to represent this genre from a purely auditory point of view.
Put your safe search on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've found my inspiration.
Was it skinny weird men in tight pants?
Weirdly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and dry chicken.
Dry chicken in the country town. Dry chicken in the... What's that song? Fried chicken in a whoop-a-boot. Fried chicken in a...
I don't know that reference.
No, you do.
I really don't.
Fried chicken in a...
Maybe next episode, Shannon. Wait. Maybe next episode.
Wait, I'm Googling.
Okay, while you Google that, I'll talk about more cock rock that I referenced here.
Okay.
If you're interested in cock rock, the music video to Warrant's She's My Cherry Pie is required viewing.
Also, make sure you read it with the lyrics pulled up because they are a quite something.
I watch the baseball. Yeah. Or no, I think it was, I think about baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the epitome of cock rock music video-ness. But that was, as Shannon pointed out, 1990, which is on the tail end of this wave.
Yeah, much more recent than I would have thought based on how those men in that music video were dressed.
Yeah, exactly. Also watched Poison's Nothing But a Good Time, a couple music videos from Cinderella and Rat. And I've decided to make my music up tempo, sort of anthemic and driving and like, yeah, as a feeling, just as a mood.
As a mood.
Right. The mood is, yeah.
I think that's about right for cock rock, it sounds like.
Yep. I'm using electric guitars with distortion. I'm using bass. I'm using drums with a lot of reverb and a lot of emphasis on the toms. So I think we talked about in our acid rock and our prog rock episodes that the drum sets were just like very big in the 70s.
Yeah.
And most of the drums that you would use in a big drum set like that are toms or tom-toms, which are like the doo 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 drums.
Yeah, like at the beginning of Pour Some Sugar on Me, the like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, fun fact, the drummer of Def Leppard, one arm.
I knew that.
Yep. Doesn't lost his arm in a car crash.
Know that?
So that's why the drum beat is just like... Because he only had one arm. So I'm using lots of toms and lots of reverb on the drums.
Cool.
Gonna throw in a guitar solo, I think.
Nice.
And vocal quality, as we briefly touched upon, is very high register.
Yes. High octane, high register.
High octane, high register. High volume hair.
Yeah.
And some screeches and screams and yas and woos and things like that. And then maybe a little synthesizer. I haven't thrown it in yet, but I think it was so iconic in the early 80s, especially to have a little like weird unnecessary synthesizer in there.
Yes.
Just because you could.
Absolutely.
So I think I'll do that.
Excellent.
What do you have up your sleeve?
A lot of different fried chicken songs.
Did you find it?
I don't know. I don't know which one it is. There's a lot of them.
Fried chicken in the funky town.
That's kind of what it sounds like. Fried chicken in the pom-pom-pom. Fried chicken in the thirty-two. Fried chicken.
If you know this song,
please help me.
Tweet at us. We're going to move on.
Please, I'll never be able to sleep.
We're going
to
move on.
Please. I have lyrics.
Great. And they aren't fried chicken.
They
related.
Aren't about fried chicken, but they should be. Here's the angle I took.
Okay.
From the point of view of David Shepherd.
Yes.
Singing about conservation
mm-hmm.
as if
it is sex.
Okay.
Like the getting excited about conserving things.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's not like sexually explicit.
Sure.
But it's like as if you were singing about sex, but it's conservation of trains and wild animals.
Okay.
So here's what I came up with.
I'm with you.
Verse, bridge, chorus.
Okay.
Verse. Whether you're a hippo or a big metal car, if you look behind you, yeah, I won't be far. Pausing at a junction or a watering hole, you can always find me out on patrol. Then the bridge. If you're bigger than an SUV, then you've got the goods for me.
Oh, my God.
The chorus. The chorus.
That's a great bridge.
Thank you. Oh, the chorus is, I'm here to conserve you, baby. Preserve your booty. Keep you in safe day all night long. Oh, let me conserve you, baby. Fundraise like crazy. Appreciate your beauty all night long.
Oh, wow. You managed to make it about sex.
I know. So I think this like kind of captures his worldview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not the way he went about it.
No, but the way a cock rocker would go about it.
True.
Preserve your booty.
If you're bigger than an SUV.
You've got the goods for me. Ow!
Yeah, I'm going to throw in a lot of that.
Yeah, you should.
One other thing I'm going to throw in that I forgot to mention is a lot of these songs have like support from the rest of the band vocally.
Okay.
So it's like the whole band is on board with she's my cherry pie.
Yeah.
And it's not even necessarily singing the chorus. They're just like, me too.
Yeah. Like enthusiastic cheer shouting.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like basically the sound of like a whole arena of 20 something men.
Yeah.
Shouting along.
I mean, so. I think conserve you, baby, preserve your booty, keep you in safety. Like those things lend themselves to like shouting.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic shouting.
For sure.
Yeah.
And maybe someday we'll make a music video.
Maybe someday we'll make a music video with an elephant and a train in bikinis wandering around in a white space while David Shepherd sprays them with a fire hose.
Oh, God. Yes.
What to clean them, because that's how you clean trains and elephants.
What else are you going to use?
But he's actually just cleaning them.
But it's all like slow motion and sexy. Just spraying a train.
A train wearing a bikini.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Oh, and it's a train leaning on the hood of a car.
Crushing it. Crushing a car.
Oh, my God.
What should we call this song?
Coxervation.
Done. Here it is. Coxervation.
A cock rock song.
About renowned artist and conservationist David Shepherd.
By Shannon and Scott.
Hello, London! Do you like big cats? Do you like big trains? Let's conserve!
Oh, that could conserve you, baby. Fundraise like crazy. Appreciate your beauty all night long.
We have to play a stadium.
We do. We really have to play a stadium. We need to do our first live arena show.
Do you like big cats?
Do you like big trains? Conservation has never been sexier.
Yeah. Who knew so many people were such big fans of conservation?
I think we do a pretty rockin' arena show because we could have like live elephants.
Yes.
We could have an actual steam locomotive go through the arena.
Can't forget the bikinis for both of them.
The image of a steam locomotive in a bikini.
I know. And then we would have to be in very tight leather pants with perms and mullets.
Oh, I'd love to see you with a perm.
I had a perm in high school.
Well, I didn't know you then.
Yeah, I know.
If you'd like to see pictures of Shannon with a perm, you'll subscribe. To our Patreon.
You'll have to request them.
Yeah. You have to send a special email request.
Yeah. Because I do have them. They're just in photo albums at my parents' house. Because I was 16 when I had a perm.
So the 2000s were weird times too.
They were. I mean, but to be fair, so like in high school, I had very long hair and I have very like thick heavy hair, and so when I had a perm it just looked like I had curly hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't have
like a tight 80s perm.
No, it kind of like wasn't possible for me to have a tight 80s perm with how long my hair was.
For the best.
Yeah,
the
best. Definitely for the best. Beau show.
Well, you won't get pictures of Shannon in a perm, but if you become a Patreon donor to us, like Claire Dixon.
Claire Dixon, thank you.
Thank you. Then you get access to lots of bonus content, which is extras, outtakes, bloopers, and all sorts of fun stuff that we put onto the internet.
Speaking of bontent, and speaking of Claire Dixon.
Claire Dixon sent us recordings of herself and her friends playing a kazoo song guessing game on Christmas, and then just some extra kazoo fun. Inspired by the kazoo that Kieran Sizek made us purchase.
You guys.
And by made, I mean enabled us to purchase.
Yeah. We have great fans who are just lovely and awesome. So thank you, Kieran, for the original kazoo. Thank you, Claire, for recording all those little canoes.
kazoo canoodles.
I did that before. I said canoe instead of kazoo.
That's true.
We're
going to put those recordings up as bontent. Claire gave us permission.
Can we do like one in an episode and then put the rest as bontent?
Yeah. You want to do one at the end of this episode?
Yeah, we'll do one at the end of this episode. And then if you want to hear more,
it'll be on
the bontent.
If you aren't able to donate to us on Patreon, we totally get that. And we still appreciate your support as a listener. And your support as a Twitter follower. We are at Song Salad Cast on Twitter, and we love interacting with our fans there.
And that's where you can reach us if you would like to suggest a salad spinner. And we would appreciate more salad spinners. We're getting down to the end of the ones that we have stored up.
Yep.
So get at us. Come see us if you live in New York City. Come see our live show, our first ever, possibly last ever live show. At QED in Astoria on January 20th at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale. You can go to QED's website, which is
QEDAstoria.com.
And you can go to their calendar and you'll find our show on the 20th. And it's called the Odd Rock Comedy Hour, hosted by Rob Paravonian, who was a guest on our podcast a couple months ago. And tickets are $10, and it's at 7:30 to 9, not 7.
7:30.
Yep, and we will be performing we'll be taking suggestions from the audience. We'll be creating a song, and while we go and compose the song, you'll see a couple other awesome acts. And then we'll play the song for you.
It'll be great, we think.
We think. If you live in New York City, we'd love to see you. Come say hi.
Yeah. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Big Trains.
And Big Cats.
And Bikinis.
What did you do to us?
My voice is tired.
In Bikinis.
That's Mickey Mouse as an arena rock singer.
I want to see you in a bikini.
You're like Disney? Ha ha.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Here's some kazoo.
Kazoo.